The Naked Love Podcast from Premier Gospel.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Naked Love Podcast by Premier Gospel. Woo-hoo-hoo. Woo!
We're in season three, Kathy. Yes. We made it.
We made it, baby.
We made it.
We made it.
We made it. We're back, season three. And, you know, as we do, we get raw, mm-hmm. honest mm-hmm. about real love, tackling the big topics from a Christian perspective. That's yes. important. That's a very yes. important part. Remember, if you're thinking about it, we're what?
Talking about it.
Amen.
So, remember, you can listen back to season one and two on Premier.plus, and you can follow us on Instagram at Naked Love Pod. Now, my favorite part of the podcast is NL Street, and I just want to say a quick warning. It's a trigger warning, and this episode will be containing conversations about mental health and trauma. And I just want to preface it by, you know, if you have been through a traumatic event, if you have been through something traumatic, it was not your fault. I don't know why I just feel led to say that. Anybody who's listening who has gone through something traumatic, you may be dealing with something traumatic, it was not your fault. God has seen every tear you have shed. God has seen everything you have gone through. And it's not that he wasn't there. He is there. He's still there. And he is just guiding you, holding you through everything. You know, it was not your fault. I don't know. I just felt led to say that.
Say it.
Yes. Let's go into NL Street.
Woo! What we got this week going on?
Yes.
This week on NL Street.
Jason, are you awake?
Yeah, what's wrong?
It's happening again. My chest feels tight. Jason, I can't breathe.
Okay. Just look at me. Let's take one deep breath. In. And one out. Take your time. That's it.
I'm sorry to wake you.
Hey, you've got nothing to be sorry about. I've got you.
I just don't know why I'm like this, Jace. It's like my mind just won't let it go. So much has changed since then. I've done therapy. We're okay now. And doctor said I'm fully healed. I don't know why this is happening.
But Jade, you're healing from a traumatic incident. Even if the outside work is done, sometimes it takes longer for the mind to catch up.
Oh, you're right, but please, just pray for me, Jason. I'm just sick of this. I just want to go to sleep. I want peace again. I can't wake up like this again. Please, I just need to sleep. I just want peace.
Dear merciful God, we pray for your daughter, Jade, Lord. Touch her mind, Lord. We know her body is healing. The incidents happen, but we know that the enemy likes to hold us down, Lord, or hold her down. Lord, we ask you just to give her some clarity of mind, Lord, and make a way in the wilderness of her mind, Lord, that she can see clearly, Lord, that she can see the light at the end of the tunnel, Lord, and she can see the woods for the trees, Lord. In your precious name of Jesus, we give you thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Oh, thank you. More from NL Street next week. So, joining us today on the Naked Love Podcast is Victoria Dada, a Christian psychotherapist with a deep understanding of religious and Black cultural shame. She now helps people heal from shame and explore their relationship with God so they can love God, love themselves, love their relationships, and love life. And I think that's something we all want to do, right?
Amen. How are you, Victoria?
I am well.
You look well. And I like your setup. I just want to come and sit down and just relax in there. I don't want to talk. Just relax.
You are most welcome.
Amen.
You are most welcome.
Aww.
So you're a faith therapist. Just give us a little bit of what a faith therapist is, because it sounds a bit like a pastor.
I won't go that deep. I think it's more of them. I've seen that I'm a Christian, and because I'm a qualified therapist, I just sort of like merging the two together will speak volume, because faith is more about being the spirituality and also being a therapist. So it kind of is a good way to say what I'm doing without shouting in a way.
Yeah. And just going through before we obviously before we had I mean before we joined today, we knew we would be talking to you. So I was just searching a little bit about what you do, and I know a lot of your work is helping Christians in particular deal with trauma and going through trauma. So I would love to just hear a little bit about that, you know, like what trauma is and how it can impact individuals and their relationships. If you could just give us a little insight.
So yeah, traumatization is something that is a very massive part, and it can have an internal, it occurs when both internal and external resources are so inadequate to cope with external threats, and it really have a negative impact on how we think, how we learn, how we remember things, and how we feel about ourselves. Is a big negative impact on even on our brain.
Okay.
Trauma can cause a lot of fragmentation in our brain, and I also want to say this as well, because we always think that trauma can be is something that is going to be as a result of a massive event. It doesn't happen like that. Trauma isn't something that is so obvious, like rape, like traumatic accidents or racism. It can be very subtle, but equally as harmful on our mind and our body. It really leaves us with a lot of wound. And because, just to give an example, for example, when somebody grew up and with them absent or emotionally unavailable mom, it can really leave a similar traumatic symptom to someone that has been sexually abused. So it leaves the same impact on us, because trauma is not the event that happened to us. It's how we respond to the event. And the way the society programs us, it makes us to believe that the more we got to focus on the big, the traumatic event and just ignore the small, the traumatic event. No, it doesn't work like that at all. Because me being a Christian, as you both know, the small T, for example, now the small T traumatic event is, as we all know, in the Bible there is that place of parents, children to honor their parents, and in a Christian home, if a parent place a lot of emphasis in that. In the book of Deuteronomy, they're like, no, well, you have to obey me all the time. And they force a child into a false submission, or manipulate that child into submitting to them, not bearing in mind that the balanced view is in the book of Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. That is a massive trauma to that child, because then that child will be so confused because it's not balanced at all. So trauma is something that doesn't just happen from a big event. It can be as a result of prolonged and repeated experience, and can even be passed from generation to generation. And our body keeps the score. Our body hears what our mind is saying. So I can go on and on.
That's really interesting. I find it really interesting that you said that it's not just about the big traumas, because there are certain things that sometimes you said, sorry, that it's not just about the big traumas, but how we respond to the traumas, whether it's a big T or a little T. And I find that very interesting, because sometimes you you look at life and sometimes things impact you and you think, oh, you know, I shouldn't be sad about this. There's people dying in certain parts of the world. Like, why am I upset about this? But actually, our feelings are valid. Do you know what I mean? It's not just about the huge things. Like, yes, we have a lot to be grateful for. But yes, just because people are suffering in what we deem to be worse doesn't mean that our feelings aren't valid for what we are going through. And it's actually what how we respond to it that determines whether it is traumatic for us or not, you know, and how it has impacted us. So, you know, I would really be interested to hear how faith plays a role in healing from these traumas, because actually everybody has had something happen to them. This is what I believe, you know, they say like children, you know, they have one thing that happens to them that determines their outlook on life. Like something may have happened, I think the first 7 years, you'll know more, but maybe the first 7 years of their life are very impactful. And if something, well, you know, if something happens in that time that makes them decide, oh, I'm ugly, or oh, I'm stupid, or I'm, it might just be one person saying an offhanded remark that, oh, you never know how to do anything. Yeah, and then that sticks with them, you know? So I wonder, you know, how does faith have, how does it impact in healing from these traumas? Because I feel like everybody, you know, my brother passed away. And I think for me, that was trauma with a big T. You know, he was murdered on the streets of London for no reason, you know, and that was trauma for me with a big T. But there are other things that, you know, people will say, oh, yeah, you know, but I haven't experienced that. But there are other things that will be traumatic. So how, and I know my faith played a huge amount in me. I'm still on the process. I'm not healed from it, but healing from it. So yeah, I would love to hear from you.
And I'm so sorry to hear about
the loss of your
brother. Absolutely, that is a massive and big T. And you're so spot on there, Kathy, in that place. But there is also that small T, which is kind of very subtle, but it lingers with that bleeding wound if we don't look after it. And yes, I totally agree that faith does play a role. And I also love what you also said there, that it's a healing process. It's not an instant, it's not like a switch. It does not work like that. And before I go into that place of the role that faith play, which I totally agree with you, Kathy, that faith does play a role in that. I'm just going to go through a few steps on the healing process of trauma.
Okay.
And then I will link the role that faith play and also the negative aspect that faith can equally be damaging.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And I would say one of the first stage of the healing process when we are in that journey of healing our trauma is in that place of safety, because when we are being traumatized, we are threatened, the thematic threat that come in there. So establishing safety for ourselves is a must when it comes to healing from a crisis, because it's so threatening, traumatic. You give us that setback. And the second stage, it's not like a stage really, it's like a cycle when they come to the healing process. The second part of it is how to manage our anxiety, because it's normal to experience some level of anxiety after traumatic experience. There's a huge fear that comes on us. And it's normal as well that you want to keep the eye out for the signs that your anxiety is not getting out of control. So managing the anxiety in a crisis require you being honest with yourself. And the third point I want to put out there as part of the process of the healing is grief, because there is going to be a loss when we go through that trauma. You come with it. It's something that it will happen when traumas happen, when trauma come on us. So we have to find a space to grieve without being stuck in that process of grieving. And another important point I want to raise as well as part of the healing is engaging with a healthy support network. Is very important, because leaning into the support system you have and surround yourself with this compassion, we help, is a vital role in the healing process of trauma as well. And the last part that I want to put out there is we need to be aware of shame, because traumatic experience commonly produces that feeling of shame, anxiety, and a sense of failure. And so we need to be very mindful of this. So going back to that place of faith, because faith, for example, now in trauma, when we feel in trauma, when we feel isolated, our faith can help us to find and build community.
Mm.
Because when trauma comes, we just feel that, oh my God, the world is not safe anymore.
Yeah, and let me just hide and retreat into my shell. Like, I need to protect myself from everybody, because anybody could be the bearer of trauma next, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So by joining a faith-based community can provide that sense of belonging and support. And sharing our experience and story with others who understand our unique situation can be incredibly healing. So that is one big factor. That's one big area that faith can really help the healing process. And faith encourages self-care. So whether it's through prayer, whether it's through self-reflection, and incorporating spiritual practice into our daily routine, it can help us to take care of our mental and emotional health, because trauma survivors often have that trouble in seeing and accepting their own needs for good self-care. So faith can really help us in that place. And also, faith also offers us that comfort and peace during the healing process, whether through prayer, worship, listening to word of encouragement. It can help us to ease the feeling of anxiety and stress. And faith can start, it can also serve as a source of divine strength and support.
Mm.
So it really play a big part in that healing process. However,
yeah, I was waiting for this part.
I just asked the same because that is very, very important. So because there are some certain aspects that faith can easily be damaging. So we need to be very, very careful, because for instance, some churches can tell us that feeling depressed and anxious is because you lack faith.
Which is not the case.
So wrong, because that kind of statement can lead into spiritual abuse.
And it's interesting, because sometimes, you know, one phrase that I'm not a fan of is saying it is well, it is well, it is well.
Yeah.
When in that present moment, it isn't well. Do you know what I mean? Yes, we speak in faith that, yes, by God's grace, things will be well in the future. But at that moment, when that person has just had terrible news or something traumatic has just happened to them, it isn't well in that moment. And sometimes I find even that phrase can be damaging, because it's just like you're minimizing what I'm feeling. Like, I'm telling you I'm feeling a certain way. I feel depressed, for example, or I feel, and you're saying, oh no, you need to pray more. Or sometimes when you feel depressed or when something bad has happened, you don't even have the energy to pray. You can't even open your mouth and utter any prayers, it comes back to the community. You know, at that point, you need your community to pray for you, because you cannot pray. Like, your mouth cannot even, you don't have strength to open. So I think you're right. You know, it can be, you know, we need to, temper both. You know, there's so many pluses of a faith in our trauma, and, you know, relying on God in that trauma. But also, I think, you know, we need to be wary of how we speak to people who are going through traumatic events, and don't use faith or God to just cancel out what they are feeling.
Absolutely, because that is to be traumatizing that.
Can I ask you a question, Victoria? I know we say the church and we can have faith in the church, but a lot of churches don't believe in therapy. So it's very hard to now say I see a therapist, because, as you said, they were classed that as a lack of faith.
Really? Is that so?
Yeah.
Some churches don't believe
in therapy. A lot of churches don't believe in therapy.
Oh, wow.
They don't believe in, they believe in prayer. And the pastor, they believe that the pastor is the answer for everything. That the pastor can be a therapist or relationship counselor and all of these different hats. Mm-hmm. But no, you're just good at delivering the word. Doesn't mean that you've got the skills to do everything else. So a lot of churches don't encourage it.
Wow.
So have you had any struggles with that? Trying to, you know, I'm a therapist and being a Christian. Have you had any obstacles in that?
There has been that challenges in that place of, and I must say, I personally, to use my own experience, when I started my journey, I remember, because when I started my journey, my intention was to go and help others. Mm. I'm okay. I pray.
I'm fine. Mm.
African community, what's your problem? What do you mean depressed? So during the training, I remember that first weekend, and the tutor said bluntly, which I'm so grateful, but you know what? You want to be a therapist, which is great, but you need to learn on how to be a client first.
Yeah,
I was like, are you okay? I'm not mad. I'm not going yet.
Yeah.
That instantly, that was my defense. Like, I'm not going. But, and I tell you what.
See, so that's interesting that you had that response that, oh, I'm not mad. Because that thing was that people that who go for therapy are crazy.
That's right.
Which is so
that's
far right. from the truth. In fact, those people are the ones who are looking after their mental health and probably won't go crazy because they're taking the actions to prevent it.
That's right. That's right.
So, and I'm looking back, I have to go through the process for me to qualify.
Yeah,
I have to walk through. And that is what makes me a good enough therapist.
Wow.
A safe enough therapist. I have to sit down and be a client and walk through my own experience, my own trauma. And looking back now, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, you didn't realize he was carrying so many things, right? You don't realize it.
Honestly. So going back into that place, and it's so heartbreaking that's the ongoing challenges with being a lot of churches, including Black churches.
Oh, definitely.
There is that God, that defense. That, you know what? No, we don't believe in therapy here, which is very, it's very, very sad. But at the same time as well, it's still a work in progress. We are getting there slowly but surely. I feel the lockdown.
Yes.
It's so sad that the lockdown has to happen for many people to open their like, oh my God, this is real.
Yeah.
I feel the impact of the pandemic is making some pastors, some churches, to put off the gas.
Yeah. So, in regards to that, in terms of somebody moving forward, so say they've had a terrible breakup, should they heal themselves first before they go into a new relationship?
And even more than just a breakup, if they have other trauma, do you think?
Other trauma going on, or even like church hurts before they move on to another church or, you know, deal with what's going on. Do you think that there's, because they don't look at that as trauma. People don't look at those things as trauma. They just look at those as everyday occurrences in life, you know, have broken up, but it does cut deep. And we kind of cover it over with a plaster, and then it manifests itself when the other partner steps in and says something or acts similar to what the other person did. And we lash out and not realizing that's where it's actually coming from. We will say, oh, my ex used to do that. My ex used to be like that. So that's the reason why me and you can't go forward. And sometimes it's like, it's nothing. So do you think it's important that people actually work through their relationship, work through those before they move forward?
I'm going to say this before I answer that question.
Mm.
In all humility, in all honesty, I feel everyone will benefit from good therapy. Everyone. Just like going to a dentist and acting a dentist, is it very okay for me to come and begin my checkup? He's going to recommend it to everyone because that is not the importance of having a healthy mouth. And that is the same thing when it comes to power of people that own the spirit. I feel everyone will benefit from it. And going back into that question of church art, of a breakup, yes, it goes deep. And because of how trauma works, a lot of people out there are going through traumatic experience without even them knowing. And sometimes, I think what puts us up sometimes about wanting to heal, we think that healing is healed, that we are perfect, that we've got to make sure that it's all right. No, it's healing. It's work in
progress. It's continuous.
Yeah.
It's continuous.
ING. It's continuous work. But definitely, I will definitely say that, yeah, traumatic experience, church hurt, breakup, I would say that pause and walk through what happened in that relationship, what happened that led on to that church hurt, before probably starting a new journey of relationship, because it will come up again.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we can work through it. It doesn't mean necessarily we're 100% perfect and healed from it, but it's important to pause and work through the hurt that we've gone through before embarking on a completely new journey. And I would like to ask, I mean, sometimes there are people who think, okay, you know, I've just broken up from maybe a 2-year relationship and I've paused for a bit and I have reflected, and then they get into a new relationship and then suddenly their past trauma shows up again, you know, in that new relationship. What would you advise? What is your advice for those people? Because sometimes we actually feel like, yeah, I've dealt with it. You know, I've gone to therapy, or I've taken steps to try and work on the healing process. And then all of a sudden, like Theo said earlier, they might say something completely unrelated and it just triggers them. Like, oh, my ex did that to me once. And yeah. I can't believe you just did that. And that other person had no bad intention whatsoever. They were just doing something, you know. So what would you advise for that, if past trauma unexpected? Sorry, I've got my retainers in today, so excuse me. Unexpectedly shows up in your current relationship, for example.
And again, that's another reality of healing from trauma. Because when we have gone through traumatic experience, it breaks every trust. We have a massive negative impact on our ability to cultivate and healthy intimacy. And that's the thing about romantic relationship. It's about intimacy. So we've gone through this experience and it's made us to not believe that this will happen on a conscious level, because it's not something that we just wake up one day and yeah, this is what I'm going to do. They are all unconscious level in us. So what I will put out there for anyone that has taking that time, like I said, Kathy, in that place, okay, I've gone through this breakup, I've taken time to pause and walk through therapy and then engage in another journey, and then all of a sudden, that pain point, that wound very open. Please don't give up. Healing takes time. And some trauma, it might happen, it might be in us 20 years ago. It might even be generational one. So it's like when we are peeling onions, it's in layers. And every relationship, I see every relationship that we form, they come with their gifts. What gift is this one bringing to me? So please be gentle with yourself and seek and set the realistic expectation on yourself, because sometimes we put that massive expectation like, no, I've done the work. Why am I bullying again? Why not? We are complex.
We are.
Relationship is complicated. Life is messy.
Yeah. And it's in regards to that relationships, I know, especially in church, because, you know, the church is it's a very complex place. And every denomination, every branch has its own complexities and it has its own rules and situations going on. As a therapist yourself, what kind of tools can you help somebody with as they're going like having a breakup, or they're going through certain, can you just like little things that they can do on their own, even while they're healing, because you know they're going to move forward. So just a little something that they can do or to be aware of, that they can like to say, you know what, start a relationship afresh. Every relationship is brand new. I don't know, some sort of way that they can move forward, because sometimes it's easy before they even get to therapy, because they're going to be listening to this and not being realize that they're going through something. So what kind of small steps that they can do to even start to have the process of going to therapy? Because most people don't want to do therapy because it's like a taboo. So is there something that they can start to do or become conscious of? Because some, we're not really, as you said, it's everything's done unconsciously. So is it?
Yeah. But one of the areas that I've been privileged to walk through many of my clients, and I'm saying I'm privileged because I did not take this journey for granted at all, is in the area of forgiveness.
Mm.
Because when it comes to church hurt, when it comes to breakup, let's not forget, these are the people that once told us that they love us. These are the people that, because when I joined a church, going back to what you said earlier on about faith, I'm seeking for a sense of belonging. I'm seeking for community that will watch my back. And then later on down the years, it didn't turn out like that. So I'm going to be oddly proud.
Yeah.
So that area of forgiveness, I feel forgiving the other people that hurt me and also forgiving myself as well. Actually, that is a very key area that we need to make sure that we look into in ourselves, and which I will come back to that later if I'm permitted with the role that church plays in forgiveness.
Can you elaborate a little bit on forgiving yourself? Because that's the bit that people don't actually recognize. We can forgive other people, we can forgive their actions, but we don't see, like, why do I need to forgive myself? What have I done wrong? So can you just elaborate just a little bit on what that means?
What means to me is like we touched on earlier on, that part of the healing process of trauma is in the place of being aware of shame and guilt.
Hmm.
And when trauma happens, it can make us to say that it's my fault. I am the one, especially when somebody that has already grown up with not having enough resources in life before. And this is, I'm referring to someone now that they want to take accountability for the role that they play in their relationship. Because there will be, we might not say it, but we all play a role in the relationship. So for someone that wants to have that accountability for the role that they play, some might be stuck in that place of, wow, I've done something terribly, terribly wrong. And they carry all of that guilt, all that shame upon themselves. And that can be very creepy. And the more we are stuck in that place of not forgiving ourselves, it should be very, very difficult to heal, because forgiving ourselves is one of the key to our healing. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. And how can we help heal each other? Because, you know, like our loved one, we can see somebody going through something, you know, depression is everywhere. How can we help somebody through that without making it sound like we're condescending? Because, you know, in churches, you said, Kathy, it is well, God is good, you know, it's just a season. It's just all of those nice, flowery, you know, inspirational words. But, you know, and we're saying, yes, 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 okay, but really and truthfully, when we go home, we're crying, we're in the dark, we've got the duvet over our head. Mm. So how can we help somebody? And we know we can see someone going through something, but it's very hard to approach it and challenge them.
Yeah, and it is hard. And I would love to hear your answers to this, Victoria, because sometimes the people who are going through things are mean.
Yeah.
Or they're horrible to us because they're going through, and they're just pushing us away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How can we best support our loved ones through their trauma and their healing process?
That's true. I would say that healing takes time. It takes time, and it requires a lot of consistency. because that's a reality. And the deep and the hurt, just like a physical pain now. When a razor cut me, the kind of treatment I would give it would be different to being hit by a car. Mm. It's just so different. So the deeper the wound, the more it requires the time. And we are wired differently. So I would say that, yes, patience, please. We need to be very mindful of that. And let's be realistic with our own expectation. Because sometimes we can't be impatient. Yes. We can't just say, so what's your problem? Especially when we are comparing. But so-and-so is getting better. So why are you not getting better? So let's be realistic with our own expectation. And again, because we are not qualified therapists, that's very okay. Because for me now, I went through my training, which I'm still doing a lot of continuous personal development. I went through my training now for about 4 or 6 years of thorough training.
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm still doing some development to touch up. Because that is how complex we are. So sometimes it might just be to encourage them to seek for professional support. And again, when they are seeking for the support, let's check with them. How do you want to support you?
That's good.
Do you want space after your session? Do you want us to go for a walk? Do you want me to argue? It's little. But I always say that the little things in life are the treasure of life.
Mm.
It might just be, don't just go for a cup, don't just go for another cup of tea. How do you give them that permission to let you know how they want you in their journey of their healing?
Mm.
And also, sometimes we might want to challenge some unhealthy pattern in them with grace. Because sometimes some clients, as a way of handling stress, they might develop coping mechanism of lying, being a compulsive liar. So you might want to, with grace, let them know, like, okay, I understand that you are stressed, but at the same time, this lying will have an impact on the way we trust you, on the way to challenge them. Because
that's really good.
Because by challenging them, they can bring that into therapy, and then keep on working on that.
I really love what you said. That's just triggered something, that a thought in me, because sometimes, one, I love what you said about asking people to, like, how they want to be, you know, supported and checked on. For me, if someone just checked on me, sometimes I didn't even have the energy to respond. But just the fact that somebody said, hey, I'm thinking of you, just letting you know I'm here, just letting you know, just again, sometimes just those little things, like you said, it's not necessarily a big thing. Right, I'm going to take you out to lunch. I'm going to, you know, sometimes it's just, hey, I'm here, I'm there, you know. And again, also, like you say, challenging some of these behaviors and knowing when we've reached our capacity, there's only so much we can do when we are not licensed therapists. Do you know what I mean? There's only so much we can do, you know, without being professional. So once we've got that limit, because I do think, you know, there is boundaries as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I love that you said that, you know, if support them in helping them get to therapy or, you know, do things when it's gone past what we are able to do. But again, just being there, you know, for that person is really important. And I just want to ask, you know, for perhaps the singles listening who are looking for a mate or looking for somebody, you know, that they want to spend the rest of their lives with, what do you think are key things to look out for in a partner that are signs that they will be able to help you through trauma? You know, and of course, you know, these are traits that we should exhibit ourselves, because our partner will have trauma that they are dealing with. But just what are things that, you know, you think we can look out for when we're looking for a mate or looking for a partner, that actually this person, you know, might not judge me, or, you know, will just be able to help me through these things? And of course, everybody's human. They won't be perfect, but just little traits we can look out for.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you there, Kathy, because we are not looking for perfection. What we are seeking for is progress, growth. Mm. And like you said earlier on, trauma affects our ability to form a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks the trust, it damages any form of intimacy. And I would just point on five green flags that might help.
Oh, green flags.
Yeah, you always hear about red flags. Oh, that's a red flag. That's a red. Here's some green flags, listeners.
Yes.
I like that. Green flags. Yes, please. Go ahead.
They will apologize when they are wrong. They will, because like I said earlier on, it's not about perfection. It's like, no, what else? I'm so sorry. I got it wrong for you. And their words will always be in alignment with their behavior. There will not be that confusion of them saying the right things. And you are wondering, like, oh, why are you behaving this way? This will always be in alignment. And they will always encourage us to kind of seek connection with others. They will want you to widen your support network. It will not only be about them. Because when it's always about them or cutting off friends, that is going into a codependency and a controlling relationship. Right? So they will always encourage you, like, no, well, talk to your friend about this. Talk to your family about this. Just go and meet your family. They themselves will be active on working on their own growth and their own healing. It should not be like, oh, you are the problem. But no, they'll be honest. Okay, then what can I do here to make us better? And they will be very authentic. And I feel that something that I do know from my experience about us is that we kind of know when people are safe. Our intuition, we kind of know, like, something is not out of that. Trust that intuition in you.
I love that. That was five, I think. Those were excellent points, you know. Thank you so much. And I think that's an excellent point to round up on. Yep. Green flags rather than red flags, you know.
Very positive.
Thank you so much, Victoria.
Victoria, how can people follow you? Are you on social media, Instagram, anything people can follow you, get in touch with you?
Yes, I'm on Instagram and going back to Faith Therapist. Yes, I'm on Instagram and my handle is in The Faith Therapist.
What a great handle.
Okay.
The Faith Therapist. So guys, check out Victoria. Get her inside, you know, patronize her. You know, maybe she's your new therapist. Do you know what I mean? Maybe she's the new person you can talk to. I think I like to think of... if people have an aversion to the word therapist, I like to think of it almost like a coach. I know it's not exactly the same thing, but it's just like coaching you through your past or coaching you through, you know, I like that term. If you have an issue with the word therapy, then Victoria could be your new faith coach.
And having a faith therapist or faith coach doesn't replace the church. So don't think that because you're going to see Victoria and I'm going to be speaking to her, I don't need to go to church or pray and stuff. No, this is just an addition. That's right, is it, Victoria?
Absolutely.
It's another tool.
Another tool in your toolbox. Tool.
Absolutely. Another tool in the toolbox.
So we need to get rid of that taboo. You know, so if a church isn't supporting us and not there, there's also another angle we can go at to get the resolution that we're looking for, because that's the bit that people are like, well, if I go to a therapist, I don't need to go to church because I'm being... No, you still need a spiritual upliftment, because you're just dealing with the mind and the body and healing, not spiritually. Even though you're Christian, it's not a spiritual base where you're going to be sitting down and doing Bible study.
I like the toolbox.
Not sitting down doing Bible study. So any pastors listening and members listening...
Don't be afraid. Don't we're be not afraid. Telling people not to
no,
go to church.
This is just another tool that you have in your arsenal to help you in this tough thing we call life.
Yes, and God wants us to live our best lives, you know, and to be great on earth. So whilst we're here, thank you so much, Victoria.
Thank you, Victoria. That's been
an absolute pleasure. Would you mind just saying a prayer for us to round up?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It's good to be in the midst of you today. And just a prayer. Father, we thank you for giving us the privilege to bring light into the stressful world that we live. We thank you for giving us the wisdom to share to share our gifting with one another this afternoon. Yes, talking to trauma is a very sensitive area. And we thank you, Lord, for the capacity that you are giving unto us, for allowing us to be curious, for allowing us to be open, to make the most of what you are pouring into us. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, for yours is the kingdom now and forevermore. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in to Naked Love Podcast. If you want to catch more, don't forget to follow us on Naked Love Pod. And also leave us your comments and any topics you might want us to discuss. Me and Kathy will, we'll tackle it.